This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. At this point, I'd like you to open your hymnals to the back of the very last page, and there you will find the Nicene Creed. Now, in case you don't know, this creed was written in 325 A.D. by leaders of the Christian church who had gathered together in the city of Nicaea, and thus the name Nicene Creed. So, why did they produce this creed about 300 years after Jesus had ascended to heaven? Well, one of the main reasons was that they were responding to false teaching about Jesus. You see, many people at that time had been misled by a man named Arius, who taught that Jesus was not God. Instead, he taught that Jesus was merely a created being. And sadly, there are people even still today who continue to be misled by this error. Therefore, based on the teaching of Holy Scripture, the majority of Christian leaders in Nicaea responded to this false teaching by confessing the truth about Jesus in the following words. If you look on with me, beginning with the second section of the Nicene Creed, it reads, "And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made." Now, after hearing all this, someone might be tempted to say, "So what? Why is this information about Jesus so important? I mean, what difference does it make?" The rest of this sermon will answer those questions by giving three reasons why it is very important for us to believe that Jesus is God. Now, the first reason it is important for us to believe that Jesus is God is that this is the clear teaching of Holy Scripture. The fact is, we must either ignore or distort the teaching of Scripture if we want to claim that Jesus is not God. And my friends, ignoring or distorting the teaching of Holy Scripture is a serious sin. Now, you need to know that if I wanted to take you through all the passages of Scripture that show us that Jesus is God, I could have a sermon series that would last the entire year. But since I'm only focusing on this topic for this sermon at this point, I can only give you a few samples of what Holy Scripture clearly teaches about Jesus being God. I'd like to start out by reading a section from John chapter 8, where Jesus is speaking to some Jews who refuse to believe in him. Listen to what goes on here. Jesus said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." The Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old and you have seen Abraham." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. Before Abraham was born, I am." At this, they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself. Now, why did the Jews try to stone Jesus? They believed he was guilty of blasphemy. Why? Because Jesus claimed to be God himself. Well, how did Jesus do that, you might wonder? Well, did you hear what Jesus said about himself? Not only did he claim to exist before Abraham, but Jesus referred to himself as "I am," which is a translation of the Hebrew word Yahweh, which is the holy name for God in the Old Testament. In fact, if you remember your Sunday school lessons, you might recall the time when Moses was standing before the burning bush and how God spoke to him out of that bush. Moses then asked for God's name, and God answered, "I am that I am." So when Jesus called himself I am, he was claiming to be God. Now let's take a look at our gospel reading for today from John chapter 10. Earlier in this chapter, Jesus says that he is the good shepherd. Does that title sound familiar? Remember how King David begins the 23rd Psalm? He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Once again, Jesus is claiming to be God. We also see Jesus doing the same thing later in John chapter 10. I want you to listen to these words from our gospel reading. Jesus says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." So how did the Jews react to Jesus' words here? Well, listen again to our gospel reading. The Jews picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus said to them, "I have shown you many great miracles from the Father. For which of these do you stone me?" "We are not stoning you for any of these," replied the Jews, "but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God." Here we see that they understood perfectly well what Jesus was saying. Jesus clearly taught that he was God. In fact, Jesus goes on to quote from Psalm 82, where it says that the human judges in the Old Testament Israel were sometimes called gods. And the reason they were called gods is that their authority came from God's own word. Jesus then makes this point. He says, "What about the one whom the Father set apart as his very own and sent into the world?" In other words, Jesus is saying that if any man deserves to be called God, it is God's own eternal Son. And then Jesus adds this comment, "The Father is in me, and I in the Father." Once again, the Jews tried to kill Jesus because they knew exactly what he was saying. He was claiming to be God himself. Now, as I said earlier, I could give you many, many more examples from John's gospel as well as from Matthew and Mark and Luke and the rest of Scripture to show that Jesus is God. The point is that Jesus spoke of himself as being God on many occasions. In fact, Jesus' own apostles also confirm this. For example, in our first reading from Colossians, the Apostle Paul writes, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form." You know what Paul is saying here, don't you? He's saying that Jesus was and is God in human flesh. In addition, our second reading from Revelation chapter 7 speaks of Jesus as the Lamb who shares the throne with God his Father. Listen again to what people are singing to God and to the Lamb. They sing, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Did you hear that? Our salvation comes from God and from the Lamb. Both Jesus and God the Father are one. Holy Spirit. Now we see the same thing in our gospel reading when Jesus says that no one can snatch us out of His hand, and also that no one can snatch us out of the Father's hand. Here Jesus is making Himself equal with God the Father, which is why Jesus then says, I and the Father are one. So my friends, it is very important for us to believe that Jesus is God from all eternity, because that is what Scripture clearly teaches. But now, I would like you to listen to the second reason it is important for us to believe that Jesus is God. Simply put, during these services, we worship Jesus. But if Jesus is not God, then we're guilty of worshiping a created being, and that is sinful idolatry. But we don't have to feel bad about worshiping Jesus, because as we learn from Scripture, Jesus is God, which is why the first Christians did worship Jesus. For example, if you read Matthew chapter 2, you will remember that the Magi came to worship the baby Jesus. Then, if you read Matthew chapter 28, you will find out what some women did when they met the resurrected Jesus. Matthew writes, they came to Him, clasped His feet, and worshipped Him. A few verses later in the same chapter, Matthew records what the disciples did when they saw the resurrected Jesus. Matthew says, when they saw Him, they worshipped Him. In the same way, we can worship Jesus with a clear conscience, because Jesus is God. Well, so far we've learned that it's important for us to believe that Jesus is God because, first of all, that's what Scripture clearly teaches, and secondly, we worship Jesus, and only God can be worshipped. Now allow me to give you the third and final reason why it is important for us to believe that Jesus is God. You see, my friends, if Jesus is not God, then your sins are not forgiven, and you have no hope in the face of death. You see, if you look at any group that falsely teaches that Jesus is not God, the other false teaching you will find in that group is that you must do something to earn your salvation. Whether we're looking at the false teaching of Arius almost 1700 years ago, or whether we're looking at false teaching today that you can find in various groups like the Jehovah's Witnesses, what all these groups have in common is not only that they deny that Jesus is God, but they also deny that His death delivers us completely from our sins. In all of these groups, in addition to denying that Jesus is God, they also teach that you ultimately have to do something to save yourself from sin. But of course, they're wrong on that point too, because the Bible clearly teaches that we can do nothing to save ourselves from sin. You see, the Bible teaches that no created being could ever save us from sin and death. Only God can do this. As we heard in our reading from Revelation, salvation belongs to our God and to the Lamb. So if Jesus is not God, then His death and resurrection mean nothing. But Jesus was and He is God. And that's why we can know that we are forgiven by His death. And that's why we know that we have the hope of eternal life because of Jesus' own resurrection. In fact, the authors of the Nicene Creed make this very point. I'd like you to look again on the back of the last page in your hymnal. If you look at that section, second section of the Creed, you'll notice that after they clearly stress that Jesus is God, they then go on to say the following: who, for us and for our salvation, came down from heaven and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures. Did you hear that? They said that Jesus died and rose for us. In other words, Jesus is God, and he willingly died for our sins and then willingly conquered death for us. No created being could do that. Only God could save us. You see, if Jesus were only a man, then his death means nothing. If you read history, you will find out that the Romans crucified thousands of people. So what's the big deal if just one more mere human dies on a cross? But if the man on that cross was God himself, that changes everything. You need to remember that Jesus died by his own authority. On many occasions, people tried to kill him, but they couldn't, because it wasn't his time. You know what that means? No one forced Jesus to go to the cross. He went there willingly by his own divine authority. Listen to what Jesus himself says about this in John chapter 10. Listen carefully. I lay down my life for the sheep. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. So as I said, no one forced Jesus to go to the cross. He willingly died and rose for you, so that through faith in him you could receive forgiveness of sins and eternal life in his love. In closing, even though the words of the Nicene Creed were written almost 1,700 years ago, those words are just as applicable today as they were then. You see, in our world today, the devil tempts many people to doubt and even reject what Scripture teaches about the person and work of Christ. In fact, it saddens me to face the fact that there are even pastors in mainline church bodies today who deny that Jesus is God and also deny that he died for our sins. In fact, there are pastors like this in the Jamestown area. But by the grace of God, we need to remain faithful to what Scripture teaches about the person and work of Christ, because this is the foundation of the gospel and the only hope for us sinners. Even though the devil will do all he can to resist our faithful witness about Jesus, we need to remember what Jesus said. He said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand." Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.